The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Wednesday morning to you. This is a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course, SiriusXM Channel 189. Gil Alexander, Kelly Midland.
Hey-o.
On a night where I got about 4 hours of sleep.
You got that much? I'm surprised you got that much.
Watching our final future go down on just an epic day at the U.S. Open.
Crazy.
It is our final show before actual real live National Football League football.
Let's go. We made it, folks. We all made it together.
It's the last one before we can look back at games.
And thanks to soccer? Thanks to soccer for helping us make it this far?
Massive assist to the World
right?
Cup.
Right? Wow.
Which seems like it was forever ago.
It really does.
But we were all super into it when it was happening.
We were. And think about that, though. It feels like it was forever ago. And then this whole summer would have felt so much longer without it.
Yeah. Shout out World Cup. You might have something something with this soccer thing you guys talk about.
That's right. It feels like it's growing on the world.
Will Hill will join us. All his bets, NFL, college football, baseball, all that later this hour. Paul Spohr. On Major League Baseball, I like an ornery Spohr. He's been great this year.
2026 Spohr has been the best.
Oh, goes off on people. It's fantastic. Nick Whalen will join us a little later on. And then in studio, I'm sure this will go well, Todd Wishnev.
Daddy!
In studio. Oh boy. By the way, the Megapod reviews are in, and it's not favorable to Todd. In terms of the interruptions, we'll see if he can keep it to a minimum here.
I'm glad you said that. You and I have not had that conversation off air, but I was like, man, this is a lot of negative Todd tweets.
I was ready to strangle him within 5 minutes. Mm. But I love him. Same deal. Fight like brothers. Matt Brown will join us as well a little later on. It's NFL season when Matt Brown's coming on the show.
The Mr. Grandissimo himself.
Got to talk to him about that first and foremost.
Mm-hmm. He knows.
Yeah. Like, when did he finally make the decision to do that?
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. I think it was sort of last minute.
Well, he's couching it as I'm a legacy club. Next thing you know, I'm signing up for Grandissimo. I'm going to guess that's not how that actually works. He's probably been concocting this for a while.
Well, I told you I knew he had been talking about it for months, but.
Good on him.
I didn't get the feeling it was close as of like a couple weeks ago.
I would like Mateo Moreno, Matt Brown to win Grandissimo. That's who I'm rooting for.
Me too.
Okay. Tennis yesterday. Let us start there before we get to football. And this has nothing to do with sports betting, but this LSU thing is fascinating to me. I just love this story.
It's crazy.
Tennis yesterday was epic. For as bad as like the matches were on Sunday, was it? Or Saturday? I can't remember what this day where they were just boring matches. Yesterday, the first half of the quarterfinals, start to finish, was just epic. We hit our over in the Noskova-Sabalenka match. Sabalenka ends up winning that in a third set tiebreaker. Then it was the Francis Tiafoe, big foe against Alex Mickelson. Mickelson, and by the way, I was thinking about playing Mickelson, right? This would have been another epic collapse.
Man.
Mickelson was up two sets. He was serving for the match in the third, up 5-4. Foe breaks him, wins the match in five. And Big Foe gets
that was crazy.
Francis Tiafoe gets to his third U.S. Open semifinal in 5 years. He is a home road split kind of tennis player.
I am. I was texting with Zach. The Hardwood Handicappers chat was firing away and active during that tennis match.
It's incredible.
Because JVT and I were locked in. It was just an amazing match. I'll ask you the same question I asked Zach Mickelson. Someone like okay, was this a nice run and a nice story, or is this actually an American tennis player? To watch going forward.
He's a really good hardcourt player.
Okay.
He always has been in his brief career. He'll be on the scene for a long time.
Okay.
I don't know if he ever wins a slam, but he's a great hardcourt player.
That was fun. And then like
he collapsed in Tiafoe's shoulder, just weeping at the end of
that. That was tough. Like that that's a moment in sports though, right? That's sports right there.
Well, it's tennis.
What a fight.
There's no sport like tennis where there were that other than tennis where you really see that kind of thing. Two guys going at it for that long, and then just, oh yeah, we're friends, and that happens. And then Jesse Pegula, the battle of the billionaires, which is the one that Kelly was the most interested in, the bigger billionaire, meaning more bank account, she beats. Pegula beats Navarro, but she could not shake Emma Navarro. Djokovic fan underscore Dan, he says, US Open quarterfinal match between Pegula and Navarro, officially the richest match in tennis history. The Pegula family net worth, $11.8 billion. Remember, her dad owns the Bills and the Sabres. The Navarro family net worth, a paltry $3.2 billion. Combined, they're worth $15 billion. For perspective, Djokovic, Federer, and Nadal combined are worth $1.5 billion. So, yeah, but Pegula gets it done. It was a steely match. She gets it done in three. And then last night, it began at 11.05 p.m. Eastern.
I was going to say, man, there was no way I was making it through there. I was getting ready to go to bed when that thing was getting started.
It was just, you know, you knew it as it was starting, right? You knew, you're like, this is going to, like, what if this goes five sets?
Yeah.
This is going to go well past the latest match in the history of the U.S. Open. And sure enough, it did. Started at 11.05 p.m. Eastern. It ended at 3.33 a.m.
Now, what was Eastern. what was the scheduled time, Gil, for it to begin?
The scheduled time is when the previous match ends.
No, I know, but don't they usually throw a time on there knowing it's going to be pushed?
They do, but it's meaningless.
Okay.
And by the way, and of course, for those who missed it, Ben Shelton beats Carlos Alcaraz in a fifth set tiebreaker. So in the three quarters yesterday that happened, three of them ended in final set tiebreakers. And Ben Shelton takes down to Carlos Alcaraz in what was just a phenomenal match. But 3:33 a.m. is when it ended, Eastern, 12:33 here Pacific. And now we are down to six because the back half of the quarters is today. And everything is tostada in terms of the futures. Sasha Zverev is your short shot now to win it at plus 110. Ben Shelton plus 140. And that's correct, right? The other guys are sort of, including Big Foe and Khachanov, they're not in that same level as Sasha Zverev and Ben Shelton, but who knows anything anymore
in
this tournament?
I mean, this is like this, the bottom three on this graphic look like the first round of a Grand Slam, not the quarterfinals, semifinals. Is that fair, Gil Alexander?
It's a good call.
I know you're not in the same boat, but I think there's a lot of people out there that have been Francis Tiafoe fans for a long time and have burnt some outright tickets on him. Of course, I don't have one for this U.S. Open, what it feels like by far his most likely chance to capture a Grand Slam.
It's still not going to happen, I don't think.
You don't think so?
I don't think so.
Man, you tennis
love,
guys, all right?
I'd love to see it.
Just because it's Zverev?
Just because it's Zverev and Shelton. But I'd love to see it.
I hope he beats the crap out of Shelton. Though.
Oh, God, I love that.
They're both Americans, and I could not be on further sides apart of how much I like and hate one.
I think you reflect most people's
okay, good. Let's go, Francis.
Let's go, Tiafoe. And then today, so we did hit the one over yesterday. That was my only play yesterday. We have two today. They're both on the spread. Coco minus three games versus Mira Andreeva. Coco has dominated this head-to-head 5-0. And Mira Andreeva has a little issue when the crowd goes against her.
Mm.
So this is sort of a confluence of...
I like this one.
Yeah. Fade Mira with Coco minus three games. And then Karen Khachanov minus 2.5 games versus Alexander Blocks. Karen Khachanov is one of these guys that through the years, even in the best of times, he's like my Irvin Santana. I never get him right. But Blocks said he almost, you know, we had Blocks in the last match. We won on him.
Yeah.
He said he almost quit in the middle of it because of a rib injury.
Oh, that's interesting.
So I'll take I'll take Khachanov, the veteran, minus 2.5, trying to get to a open semi over a compromised Alexander Blocks. So those are the two. Coco minus three games, Khachanov minus 2.5 games.
Like perfect example of what I'm talking about. It's like the U.S. Open semifinals bet, the first one that kills betting, and then we go out to Bad Homburg in the middle of June for the second round matchup between Block X and Khachanov.
They all count the same.
They count way more for those guys.
I went to look at this Super Bowl matchup to bet the Ravens and the Ravens and Seahawks.
Yeah, you were talking about that yesterday.
What number would you require to play that?
Ravens Seahawks? Yeah. Love this game. Okay, Ravens Seahawks. I don't even know what shortest matchup odds
were.
I'm going to say that I'm going to guess the odds were in the teens, and you were hoping for like 30.
It was 35-1.
Ooh, okay.
I was still disappointed. Yeah. I was like, okay, and I mean, I get it, right? They're two favorites.
Mm-hmm.
But I was like, really? Before the season, am I going to bet a matchup at 35-1?
Yeah, I don't know. Every time I get excited about one of those bets, I leave with that exact same feeling. It's, okay, I guess I'm not betting this. What was the shortest matchup? Rams
You know how this goes, because it's not searchable that way.
Yeah. Right, yeah, sorry, never mind.
No, that's right. I'll. Hey, look, we'll do it. We'll do it live.
I mean, who's the shortest AFC team? I'm not Bills. Rams. Bills. Got to be Rams. Bills. Right.
I'm at the Rams currently.
Like 12, 15.
Oh,
one.
Oh, guess what? They didn't put the Rams in the proper alphabetical order, so I still can't find them.
Yeah, we shouldn't even tread on this.
Yeah, it's probably Bills Rams, right? Bills Rams would be 20-1.
Okay. So I was going too short on where they start.
Yeah, Bills Seahawks 35-1. So Bills Seahawks, Ravens Seahawks, same thing, 35-1.
Yeah, I'm with you. It's just not interesting right now.
Oh, just to give equal time here. Odds to win the U.S. Women's Open. Aryna Sabalenka after her third set tiebreaker win yesterday over Noskova, +140. She is the short shot. Coco, Rybakina, Pagula, Andreeva, Zhang Shenwen. As I mentioned yesterday, besides Emma Navarro in the final eight, I could see any of them winning on the women's side at this point.
Yeah, I was going to ask you that. Yep. And this is wide open still, right? Six left.
Yeah.
So anyway, man, I've got Pagula vibes, though. I don't know why. That's current price on Pagula. She won that match, and she was like 6-1 before that match yesterday.
I would love to see her win it. You talk about Big Foe on the women's side. I would love to see her win it.
Yeah.
Love to see. Hey, man, I know she's got billions, but you know what? There's a lot of there's billionaires and 100 millionaires out there. Guess what? They don't end up being the top five in their life.
I hope everybody knows I like to make my jokes. It takes nothing away from these girls getting to this level of competitive tennis. You have to work your ass off. It is not.
And sure, she had the country club lessons. Yeah, no, it's all true. They still don't get to top five in the world.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, you know how easy it is for those people to quit, too, when it gets tough?
Yeah, mom, dad. Yeah, I figure I'll stop this. Seems like a lot of work for you know what's waiting for me. Okay, we'll come back. Let's talk Seahawks and the Patriots.
Come on, baby. Come on.
Tonight, Rams Niners tomorrow. And I do want to bring up this LSU thing because this is crazy. Next on A Numbers Game.
Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
The wait is finally over. College football's back and the NFL season kicks off today. Now's the time to get your edge with VSiN Pro. Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. Get instant access to our updated NFL betting guide with post preseason updates, week one betting systems, contest strategies, and fresh best bets from VSiN's experts. You also receive our college football betting guide with previews of all 138 FBS teams. Sign up now. You also get daily best bets, real-time betting splits from DraftKings and Circa, AI-powered prop tools, 24/7 video on the VSiN Watch app. Get started for just $9.99 or save 50% with a VSiN Pro annual subscription. Head to VSiN.com/subscribe now. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. First tweets of the day. We get them at Beating the Book. Mortal Capper. What an incredible day and night on Ash at the U.S. Open, one of the best overall days in recent history. Mm-hmm. Will we finally get an American champion on the men's side? Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up. It has not, we have not had a men's champion, a men's Grand Slam champion, any slam since Andy Roddick won the U.S. Open in 2003. Got a definite shot here.
Okay.
With Sheldon.
Random specials that were listed, and this was like 2-1 as of like 2 days ago. Any American player to win the tournament on the men's side. Of course, only the yes price is listed, but it is -110.
Is a coin flip right now?
Coin flip right now.
Yeah.
Any interest in a no price on Sasha Zverev?
I'm not interested in anything anymore.
Yeah.
I have Drew's attitude. Drew's attitude is the tournament's over for me. That's it.
Football starts.
Yeah. Not interested in anything, you know, besides individual matches, that is. JM McDonald 9, wondering your thoughts on Junior Caminero at 14-1 for AL MVP. He's closed the batting average gap with Jordan to 29 points, one ahead in homers, and within two RBI. If he can stay ahead in homers, pass him in RBI, is there extra consideration for him if the Rays get the number one seed in the AL? So just to let people know what's going on here. So Jordan Alvarez's quest for the Triple Crown, which would only be the second Triple Crown winner since 1967, has fallen on hard times here with less than 3 weeks left. Because as J.M. McDonald just pointed out, Caminero now tops him in homers by one, and Pete Alonso tops him in RBI by two. Alvarez still clinging to the batting average lead.
Who will ever forget the 2026 season from Pete Alonso?
But to answer your question, J.M. McDonald, no, I don't. It doesn't affect MVP to me. Jordan is still winning MVP.
I think it's a fair question.
Yeah, but
something to monitor, right? But yeah, I think we're probably just running out of time here.
No, Amy, Doug, thanks for the Alcaraz bets. The sweat was real. The outcome was bad, but it was great fun to have the opportunity. Well, again, third set tiebreaker. Could have gone either way last night. John Balducci shooting an ad today. Camera operator's t-shirt.
Did you see it?
Oh, yes, I did.
It's amazing.
What is that?
I don't really understand it, but it's amazing.
Edgar Allan Iverson.
Yeah, he's doing our step over, man. He's doing the walkover.
But what's the Edgar Allan Poe
I don't
reference?
Know. Yeah, I don't get the reference, but I love it anyways.
This is from Paul Zhang. Oh, Derek told the Matt Brown story on Follow the Money last night. Well, we'll get it from Matt Brown's, from the horse's mouth today here on the show, because I did not hear that. New York Football Giants 42. Nice win for Pegula. If she wins the U.S. Open, do you think she can use that money to finally buy her parents a house? I'll hang up and listen. 3Jacques H3131. Gil, will Kelly be pulling another power outage when Todd is on, just in case you actually strangle him? Can you set up a live blood pressure monitor during his appearance? And okay. JB, Shelton 40-1, Tiafoe 120-1, Botic Van de Zandschulp 100-1 to win the quarter, so do not bet on them to win, he says. You have all those? Patrick Kelly, good morning, gentlemen. Block X Compromise sounds like a not-so-good movie to me.
That's a great movie title. I would see that.
Block X Compromise.
Great action movie title. Jason Statham's definitely in it.
No Emu Doug. Ben Shelton now 1-for-18 against top three players. Great, great tiebreaker player, though, that's for sure. And then Paul Nelson, I hope you're right about the Seahawks. What about the healthy O-line versus the Pats? The loss of our OC, QB coach, and offensive line coach, losses on defense and current injuries in the secondary, and Emmanuel isn't 100%. Seahawks favored by 3 tonight, only 3. This moved from 3.5, where it was perched for a very long time, and is now -3, -120. Again, were you surprised by the move? I was.
Yeah, I was. I was. I think great points. Great points from that last tweet. I'm going to sit here and regurgitate a lot of them, I guess. But it is, I understand why we're not looking at like an exact same line or a comparable line to the Super Bowl. I think you could easily make some arguments, as that last tweeter did, about, okay, some of the health issues, some of the guys that are gone in the Seattle secondary, and just overall, right? Kenneth Walker gone, Boye Mafe gone, offensive coordinator change. New England, the offensive line was banged up in the Super Bowl. You bring in an A.J. Brown now. You're a little bit healthier there. I get all that, Gil. I get all that. But when we were sitting 4.5 on a neutral, and now you're telling me I can lay just 3 with Seattle at home with a historically very good home field advantage, I ended up betting. I joined you last night. When this was 3, I was staring at a 3-1-14. First game of the season, I'm betting a little bit on Seattle tonight.
And then there's the notion of what was bringing this up. I haven't heard anybody bring it up with the Patriots yet this year. Maybe it's just us who didn't bring it up. On average, Super Bowl losing teams post a record
I have this.
Do you of roughly it? 10-7 in a 17 game season the following year.
Oh, okay. I thought you were going week one here. Week one.
Here it is. Super Bowl losers in week one, 6-20 against the spread since 2000. That's for BetLab Sports.
I know these are, look, Gil and I are not the biggest trend people. Nope. I would tell you there's been a lot of time between the Super Bowl and this game and a lot of changes on both these teams.
Yep.
I'm not really reading much into that, but hey, it's week one. I know some people like some trends.
I wonder, here's the thing with trends, right? The trends that I am accepting of, regardless of sport, is if you can sort of intuitively make sense
right,
of it.
Explain it.
Right?
Yeah.
Is there any way to make sense of this? In other words, we talked about it with the Blue Jays last year. Blue Jays got not only to the World Series, they got to Game 7, and they lost Game 7 in the most dramatic fashion you could imagine, with Rojas and then Pajes making those unbelievable defensive plays for the Dodgers in Game 7. I will never forget those plays. And then I think it was Will Hill who first said, he goes, now just imagine the mountain that the Blue Jays have to climb. After losing Game 7, you have to go back to spring training. You have to live through that. You got to play 162 games. Now, I do think the Blue Jays are going to sneak in to the postseason. At least I'm hoping they do, because I obviously have them in September. Nice Blue Jays win yesterday. But is there an equivalent? Does that make sense to you that a team that gets to the Super Bowl and does so on one of not the easiest schedule in the NFL last year, but in a historically easy schedule?
Yeah.
Now has to start it all over again with a much more difficult schedule and starting maybe arguably in the worst venue for opposing teams in the league.
I mean, look, I think the Will Hill example with the Blue Jays is maybe one of the best I've heard, because I think baseball, okay, you've got, what, a shorter off season, right? You talk about World Series, spring training, pitchers and catchers report real quick. I guess baseball, I'd be a believer where there's actually a hangover effect, but even with that, you're talking about months in between, new players, new teams. I mean, isn't hope springs eternal, right? Every season, everybody hits that reset button. So I don't know.
I'm with you, but I guarantee you there's people listening who are nodding their head or like, oh, absolutely, I get it. I get why that trend is what it is.
I mean, for this game tonight, I think you could maybe say it matters a little bit more, but I'm more of a believer in just the revenge part of it from the Super Bowl, more so than just the loser.
You believe in that, this revenge notion.
I believe that after how those seasons ended, the Patriots feel like this is a very, very big game for them tonight, and the Seahawks think, we just won a Super Bowl, this is week one, we have a full season ahead of us that we care a lot more about.
Mm. I think when I was a kid, after the Dolphins played, no, maybe that was a different year.
We're talking about all these things. Any of these things, am I going to the window based off of something just like, no, not
none
at all.
None of this. But week one, you are going to the window based on all kinds of things that none are based in any actual football you've watched.
Mm-hmm. No, that's very true.
So it's just different levels of what you believe is bettable information. And right now, week one, the challenge is always... Someone said it this week. Week one, the challenge is, you know what? Get the 3-2 in your millions. Move on. I'm on the Seahawks tonight, though, just because rather than anything about revenge, I'm certainly not basing it on that trend. I just believe what I saw in that Super Bowl was a Seahawks team that almost shut out the New England Patriots. And while these teams are different and while it is a different cast of characters, it ain't that different.
Where do you land on the total? Because you and I have not talked a lot about this, and I've heard a lot of overlove this week.
No thought on the total. No
opinion. Yeah, I've heard a lot of overlove, and we broke down some of the changes. I understand why you could expect some more scoring in this game tonight than what we saw in the Super Bowl, but man, it is hard to forget how hard points were to come by in the Super Bowl for, what, three quarters for both of those teams? I complete pass on that one for me.
More likely to have a terrible game tonight. I'll use the word terrible. Well, let's substitute terrible.
Ooh,
most likely to have a subpar game tonight. Sam Darnold, Super Bowl hangover. Drake May coming off a year where perhaps he should have won MVP.
Such a great question. I'm going to have an unfair answer for Sam Darnold always. Sam Darnold. It's Sam Darnold, and it was the easiest answer right away.
I was about to say Pat answer, but that would be a reverse pun. Coming back, Will Hill, all his bets. It's a numbers game right here at VSiN.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back on the numbers game. Un partido de números. It's Gil Alexander. That's Kelly Bidlin right there.
Hey,
television's Kelly Bidlin, everybody. Soak him in. Soak him in. Ladies, enjoy.
Hey, possum.
James Fessler on Twitter. Won't spoil the Matt Brown story, but you could get a dozen guesses and not guess what LSU players on Matt Brown's Grandissimo team. Interesting.
I have no idea. Yeah.
All I know is that Ricky Weeks laced a double off of
that's
it
right,
in LSU
that's right,
baseball.
That's right. I've only seen the guy like 18 times in the past 3 weeks.
Phil New, am I crazy to take the Titans week one of Survivor? I can't get them out of my head. Well, I don't know if you're crazy, but you got a pair on you. That's for sure.
Yeah. I mean, look, I'm on the Jets, but it's definitely no more crazy than us sitting here talking about liking the Raiders week one.
True that. And Jason McKinney, I'm out of town for a meeting, and when I walk into my hotel room, I see this unpalatable water option. It's like I'm staying in a low-class motel. I complain and send a link to your taste test. I'm waiting for their reply. He's showing us a picture of Evian. Let me just say this. Jesse Pegula, post-match conference yesterday, had Evian in front of her.
Love that you've figured that out.
And yesterday, I had to go get water because I was running out of water. Guess what I bought?
You still went to Evian.
Still went to Evian.
Yeah, you still went to Evian.
I'm not going to let one or two sips out of one of our plastic cups.
Oh, that's where he's going to now.
Ruin the feeling of Evian out of their natural bottle.
Their natural bottle. That's definitely not made out of plastic like our plastic cups.
That's right. It's a different kind, the different dispenser at the top. By the way, here's the update on September wins. This is starting to feel like the month where the Dodgers just say we're not losing any games. Dodgers, sole possession of first place right now. They're 6-2 in the month of September. Remember, they were my third choice. I just didn't like the price. 6-2 are the Doyers, and then a scrum of teams. That's 8 other teams with 5 wins, including in that group, our Blue Jays, our Red Sox, both at 5-3. So one game, one win behind the Dodgers. The Blue Jays for us is a circa bet with tiebreakers. The Red Sox is a dead heat William Hill Caesars bet. Let's go Red Sox. Let's go Blue Jays. And Dodgers, do your part. Lose a couple games.
For yeah, for
if
real.
You would. Ladies and gentlemen, he is the host of the Should Have Bet More podcast. Comes to you 3 times a week. He is on Twitter at not the Will Hill, 2 E's on the V. And he's a star of the Megapod, one of the stars. That's Todd Wishnev's podcast. It's Will Hill, everybody, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. How you doing, Willie?
Boys, what's going on? Thanks for having me. How great is this? How great is it to still have something you get this excited about in life? Start a football so season. Great. I get excited, as much every year as I do the next year. And it's like Christmas morning. It really is.
It really is. What do you enjoy? If we had to isolate one day of the sports calendar, let's take betting out of it for a second. Well, I don't know. Maybe you want to include betting. What's the most excited you get as an adult still to this day?
I'd still probably go the first Thursday of March Madness, but it's close with about 4 or 5 other days.
Yeah, I think it's first Thursday of March Madness, too. Or you know what? NFL Draft is a sneaky choice also for me.
Mm-hmm.
NFL Draft is a sneaky choice. And then the first Sunday of the NFL.
I was just going to say, I think that would be my call. The first full Sunday of the NFL season.
Yeah. Wednesday.
This is not... Having this game on a Thursday, I want to say I was like a senior in high school or maybe freshman in college, like 02, 03, 04, somewhere in there, is when we first started doing this. All right, we'll have the Super Bowl champion play on a Thursday. But for the most part, from what I remember before that, it was the season would start on Sunday pretty much. Everyone would just play on Sunday, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's how it was. That's how it used to be back in the dark ages, back in medieval times. All right, let's start with baseball. We'll crescendo back to football. You have a couple of baseball plays for us today.
Yeah, I'm going to go under 2.5, first 3, Houston and Philly. Really good pitching matchup. Hunter Brown, who has not been like typical Hunter Brown great, but he's still really good going against Sanchez. Thought about playing the under 8. I thought that 8 was a little high, but you know, even number, small ballpark. If it's 4-4, you lose. I don't want to sweat out bullpens. I don't mind the under 8, but I'm going to go under 2.5, first 3. And maybe I'll get a little help from that Philly base running because I don't know. I think you were watching some of it last night. I've never seen worse base running. Where they had men on first and second, and the guy up, I think it was Marsh, hit a ball dead center, deepest part of the park. The center fielder jumps, can't catch it, falls over. It caroms all the way like right field. I thought inside the park, 3-run homer. The guy on second, Baum, almost gets thrown out at the plate, and then they did the old freeze on a line drive. The next batter, guy on second, takes off like a bat out of hell, doubled up. And I guess Sosa, in later innings, hit a ball, admired it, and then I'm getting thrown out. But, boy, that is some horrible, horrible base running from Philly. Not why I'm betting it here. I just was my mind was blown watching that. As great as the pitching is, I think base running and defense in today's game leaves a lot to be desired. But good pitching matchup, first 3 under 2.5. I'll be sweating this here, I guess, a little bit before the little appetizer here for the football game.
Who was the guy in the ninth who hit the shot off the wall?
Sosa, maybe?
So was it Sosa? He admired his shot. That cost them the game. That cost them the game. And I don't think the announcer said anything about it.
No.
It's brutal.
It's amazing.
Okay, college football. Despite their 60 minutes and 1 second win over Western Michigan, you are on Michigan this week, plus the points.
I am, and by the way, I did play Yanks -1.5 too. Worried a little bit. Judge might give him a day off to settle in after coming back yesterday, but they should light up Sagano. So Yankees -1.5 is a play for me as well. But I'm going to buy the dip here with Michigan. I know. It was ugly, not just with the quarterback, but they couldn't run the ball. You figure, all right, your quarterback's struggling. You could just line it up and run it on Western Michigan, and we all know what a travesty that was Saturday night. But you know what? The defense still played well. They're going to hear all week. They're no good. They shouldn't have won, kind of us against the world. And they've got in their back pocket this kid, Tommy Carr, who's CJ Carr's brother, grandson of Lloyd Carr. Sounds like he's a pretty competent backup. And the coach was saying, and usually the coach say, my quarterback's my quarterback. He has his back. He said, we'll see. William said, we'll see. You know what? He's kind of on a short leash, which is, I think, a telling comment. So would expect a close, low-scoring game, points at a premium. And we don't see a lot of 43s in college football. But, you know, maybe somebody wins the game 17-14, 20-17, and I'll plug my nose here and take the six with Michigan.
Man, okay, going to live through that one. Sorry to step on your Yankees bet. My apologies. You, by the way, you think the Yankees are winning the pennant? Let's start there. You think they're winning the pennant? First of all, are they coming back to win the division?
Yes, pennant, no division. Division, you're just starting to run out of games. Yep. Now, I know they got Colorado and Tampa's got Atlanta, but you start to get in the point of the season, Gil, where if when you're down four games, if you don't make up a game or you don't have any room to go backwards, there's just such a thin margin for error. They do play four times, I think 2 weeks from now, last week of the season, all in Yankee Stadium. But if the Yankees don't sweep those four, they don't have the tiebreaker. Remember, we don't play game 163 anymore, which is another travesty. I don't think they'll win the division, but man, that lineup that's healthy now. You got Judge to go with Rice and Garcia Jr. You're throwing the Bellingers and Chisholm, and Spencer Jones is giving you some juice. With that pitching and the rest of the American League, I do think they'll probably get to the World Series. I don't think they'll win it. Probably somebody comes out of the National League and beats them, but I think they're clearly the best team in the American League.
All right, to the National Football League. Let's start with Wednesday Night Football tonight. You are on the Seahawks.
Yeah, it's a lot of things you guys talked about, too. And we got the bad number on the Megapod here with the 3.5. So I don't love that, especially on a key number. But, I mean, it was 4.5 in February, and that's on a neutral field. And you could say, all right, the Seahawks lost a couple guys here or there. They're banged up. Patriots maybe a little bit better. Mays healthier. And maybe that's all true. But 4.5 on a neutral, Seahawks won. They covered. They dominated. And now we're playing in Seattle, which is a dominant home field, a really impactful home field. That's about as good a home field as there is in the NFL, especially on banner night, and the line's down to 3. I just feel like Seattle's being slept on, disrespected, whatever word you want to use here, because you know, the Rams hype, whatever it is, people don't believe in Darnold, but I'll put my money where my mouth is here and say Seattle wins the game by about a touchdown or so. I just think, you know, the last thing on this too, the fundamental problem for New England in February, they couldn't block Seattle. And has that changed here in the offseason? Will they be able to block Seattle? I guess we'll find out.
We will find out in due time. And by due time, I mean later today. Let's go. Can't wait. All right. One other play in the NFL on Sunday. What do you have?
Oh, this will be a fun one. Cleveland plus the 8/8.5. I know Todd got very upset that I tried to get 8.5. Not that he ever tries to get an extra half number here or there, half point here and there. There were plenty of 8.5s out there. But besides the point, I like Cleveland 2-53. Sounds like they hit on a couple of these wide receivers, these rookies, Concepcion and Boston. Judkins is a good back. They've always got a pretty good defense. Now, you might say this is like, you know, you're going to buy the car and the car is great and it's a great deal, but there's no steering wheel and you can't drive it. Maybe there's just no quarterback and this is going to be a terrible bet. It's possible. But with a low total of 40.5, I just feel like with that roster, if I get anything out of Watson, out of the quarterback position, this could be a close game. And, you know, week one's always a little wonky. What do we really know about these teams? So I'll take the points here with Cleveland. Should be a lot of fun to sweat that one out on Sunday.
I agree with the general sentiment about the Browns. If you can get anything from quarterback, they shouldn't be terrible. Let's set the bar there. The question is, do I make it one of my 5 millions plays? By the way, millions line's not out till 10 a.m. today, I guess.
Yes.
That we made that. I couldn't figure out what day it was yesterday.
Maybe.
Yeah. If you were looking to make your millions plays or survivor plays, those become active later today.
What did we get? A tweet from someone? Okay.
And they might have said Wednesday, and I just botched it also.
I wanted to make sure if they were out yesterday. We discussed them today. I was in the depths of the rules and everything. Yeah.
Jaguars, you agree? What was the team you picked in the Megapod for biggest favorite, most likely to lose outright? There's only 3 selections. What was your choice? Jags?
I picked the Jags, but Fez, who was great, by the way, on the Megapod, Fez picked the Lions because Dan Campbell goes for it on fourth down, the fourth down variance. I think there's a lot of truth to that. By the way, a little A&G Civil War, Fez versus Mike versus Right Angle Sports on Twitter. I'm not enjoying that. I hope those guys work it out.
Wow. Okay.
Fez is in a Twitter battle with somebody?
Shocker.
That can't be. More with Will on the other side. He's got some NFL season longs next.
VSiN, the sports betting network.
Sharp plays in full effect, unmatched transparency with the records updated daily, AI betting analysis, real-time global betting info, alerts directly from the pros. Scan the QR code on your screen for more at sharpplays.com. So a couple college football notes before we get back to Will. One, remember how after the Western Michigan-Michigan debacle, I'll call it a debacle, that, universally praised was Western Michigan coach Lance Taylor. for how he handled the game afterwards.
Just classy.
Just classy. And the Mac with their statement.
Classy.
Just classy. And I even said at the time, the other day, I was like, maybe they shouldn't have been that classy, right?
Mm, yeah, you did.
Well, guess what? They're not staying classy. Mac is challenging this now. They want a whole review.
It's hard to work in sports media for this long and not kind of roll your eyes at these things, but you're like, all right, the Macs released a statement. They're unhappy.
Yeah. They want Michigan's win overturned after what happened at the end of that ballgame. Said replay protocol was not followed. And then the other college football story, do you realize the SEC is headed towards a vote tomorrow on whether or not to expel LSU from the conference?
Yeah, I'm sure that will happen.
Now, of course, if that were to happen, and they're saying, you know, publicly facing, they're saying, oh, no, this is serious. If that were to happen, obviously LSU then doesn't have a SEC schedule. Path to the playoff is compromised. Forget about the money, right, that comes with money distribution conference, right? But all of this is because of LSU's flirtation with bringing pro players back this year.
Mm-hmm.
And it should be noted that LSU, they filled their final two roster spots with non-pro players yesterday.
Yes.
So LSU is now, this vote may happen against LSU just for having the thought of doing it. They didn't actually do it.
I mean, that's also, I don't know if it was going to go any, if that vote was going to go anywhere in the first place, but now that those guys are not even on the roster, no, it was everybody making threats, right? LSU backed down. They didn't add those guys.
Huh?
And then just to follow up real quick on the Michigan, Western Michigan thing, the NCAA issuing new guidance to establish a standard timing protocol that ensures consistency in the administration of all college football games. Memo was sent out yesterday to teams. Quote, the official time for all college football games is the time displayed on the in-stadium game clock.
Hey.
The memo said.
What I said the other day. That's how the NFL does
yeah.
it.
Yeah. Real quick, when a replay review requires time to be restored or otherwise adjusted, the replay official's decision will be based on the embedded game clock contained within the program feed. If the broadcaster is unable to provide an embedded game clock, the replay official will use the game clock displayed as part of the broadcast feed.
It's very simple. We can't have a sport where the clock we're seeing is not the clock mm-hmm. you end up using.
Yep.
Period. Rhodes knows who's going to have a subpar game other than the officials. It has to be the guy who said he sees ghosts turning back into pumpkins. Seems logical. Could it be a Mark Rippon thing where Sam Darnold just has his 1 year, except for Sam Darnold had a great year with Minnesota.
We're so unfair, but I think the same thing.
He won the Super Bowl. Let's get off his back. Doesn't matter what he does the rest of the time. Mac, when you and Kelly get a chance, be sure to check out the Novig ad with Sydney Sweeney. Okay.
Hmm.
Okay. Are you suggesting that there's some Vig in the Sydney Sweeney ad? You know what I mean?
Mm.
Chris Todd, who do you have in the golf match? I got golf minus the games. Golf minus three against Andreeva today. Love the show. Thank you, Chris Todd. And then Torch D, the one who put this ad in your panties. This is apropos of I don't know what. He says, who the hell is Purvis Ellison? Never nervous Purvis who won the NCAA champion with the championship with Louisville over Duke, over Johnny Dawkins and Tommy Amaker and Duke. Later to become a Washington Bullet. I don't know.
John Lund making me even more intrigued now, texting in associate producer of this fine show. We can't show it on the network. We'll just say that about Sydney.
Oh, okay. All right.
That could be for multiple reasons. I don't know.
Will Hill seems like a fan of Sydney Sweeney's. He joins us once again from the state of Connecticut, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line, at Not The Will Hill on Twitter. He's the host of the Shoulda Bet More podcast. Willie, have you seen that commercial by any chance?
I just happen to have seen it. Yeah, that was a good guess by you. I have seen it, and Kelly's right. You can't show it here on Visa.
Wow!
Okay.
Know what I'm doing during the commercial break?
Interesting. I'm not like Sydney Sweeney crazy like others are.
I'm sure you will not care to see it at all.
Watch the commercial. That's for sure. Okay, Will.
Take one for the team.
Yeah, I'll take one for the team.
Exactly, Will. Yeah. What a great sacrifice by Kill.
You're very welcome. Look, Gracie has texted me. I wonder what she wants. Okay. Let's do some season longs. Let's do a couple of season longs here. This specific one is of interest to me because we were talking about the Dolphins yesterday, and I was just sort of talking about how we went through their wide receiver depth chart. It's horrific. And the point I was making was you don't have to believe us subjectively about their wide receiver room. The point is that they picked up seven players after final cuts. More than 10% of their roster is the discards, the last discards of other teams. So how good can they be? How are you playing the Dolphins?
There is that FanDuel under 4.5 -160 where you can pretty much buy a game. And you know what? It just all the things you mentioned with the roster. If they get to 5 wins and you beat me, so be it. And you got 4 against the Patriots and the Bills. Even the Jets, I think, similar to the Browns, they're 2 through 53 is not that bad. I think Geno Smith, you know, last year behind a bad offensive line will play much better behind a better offensive line this year. And I'm not sure. Maybe you get a split there, but it's just, it's hard to get to 5. And, you know, talking about their roster, listening to you talk about the roster, reminds me of the scene from Major League when they're going over the guys and it's like, who's this guy? This guy here is dead. We'll cross him off. You know, it's just, it's kind of a who's who of like guys you've never heard of. And it is really just a roster that is designed to be picking high in April.
So just to be clear, that's an alt season win total under on 4.5 because their actual is 3.5, correct?
Yeah, you can you can go to these books and pretty much pick your juice, pick your number. -160 at FanDuel, 4.5. You know what? For the extra juice, I'm okay. Where you know what? You get the 5 and beat me, you beat me. But I 3.5 just feels like, man, any of these teams can walk their way.
Yeah.
Into 4 wins, 4 to 5 seems like a much bigger jump. When it's just harder to luck your way into 5 wins when you're this bad.
I love that, Gil. Totally. I mean, how often do we talk? We talk all win totals all the time. Usually it's the other way, looking for those plus prices, right? But I think that's one with a win total that low. Give yourself another game because, like Will said, anything can happen. We see that all the time. I like that.
Okay. This next one, I love this because we should really have a dedicated segment before any season, but really before the NFL season of bets that have been sitting out there for the entire summer.
I've got 3 of them written down that okay. I haven't made.
Yes. Well, not just you haven't made, that appear to be so obvious in terms of their pricing. Like, let me give an example. And this didn't come, they appear to be obvious is the key phrase. Because last year, remember, the Chiefs were like -110 to win the division.
Mm-hmm.
Before the season started, we were all like, oh my God, the Chiefs are -110 to the division. Are we really not betting this? Turns out it didn't win anyway, right? Yeah. Okay. Will has one for us, please.
Yeah, and you know, similar to what you're saying, this is just under the category of I will hate myself if I don't bet it and it wins. Patrick Mahomes at FanDuel was 17-1 to win the MVP. I mean, I don't feel like I need to give a handicap. It's Patrick Mahomes. It's 17-1.
Yeah.
It's 10-1 at DraftKings. It's still Mahomes. And I actually think the fact that he's coming off an injury, the narrative will probably help him. He hasn't won this thing since 2022, so there will be a little bit. It's not like there's voter fatigue with him. I think, you know, some of these years, like when they were 15-1, eventually 15-2, he didn't even sniff the award. You just get a little bit bored. All right, you can give it to him every year, that kind of thing. I don't think that's there with him anymore, having not won it in a few years. I think that 17-1, just from a price point, and maybe, you know what, maybe he's recovering from the injury and he's not the same. And you know what, you lose a 17-1, so be it. I'm surprised that number is as high as it is. We know it's a quarterback award. We know the handful of guys that'll be in the mix. If he's healthy, he'll certainly be one of them.
Let's workshop this. So let's say Patrick Mahomes has a great season. The Chiefs win the division. We won't even give him the number one seed. Let's say they're the number two seed, just to make it a little more murky. Is he more, let's say he has MVP competition. Are voters more likely to default to him as the MVP juxtaposed against him as the comeback player of the year award? Does that enter your thinking at all? That, oh, maybe given other competition,
point.
He'll go to the other one.
It's still Mahomes. He's still the star of the league. They would give, if he's worthy of the MVP, they're not going to stiff him on the MVP and be like, well, you know, we're not going to give you MVP, buddy, but here's your comeback player of the year. If he's warranted to be in the mix, I think he'll have a shot to win. Again, just the price. At the 10-1 at DraftKings, you know what? I'm kind of indifferent, but at 17-1, I just feel obligated to pull the trigger.
Yeah.
I love the question. This is where, you know, I'm captain comeback player of the year. This is where comeback player of the year gets insulting. If anybody starts thinking about it that way,
yeah.
No, it's disrespectful to the MVP and the rare air that we hold that award in, right? So, yeah, look, if he's in the mix, yeah. I think, would you say Chiefs 1 seed?
No, I said 2 seed, just to make it murky.
Okay, 2 seed, they win the division. I guess it matters. Who's that 1 seed?
Yeah, I agree with you, though. I think almost giving Patrick Mahomes comeback player of the year as a consolation prize to MVP is almost more insulting to him and to everybody else.
Right.
Yeah. Will, always a pleasure. Who's on the latest should have been more?
Jeff Parles, Jensen Lewis, and you guys were talking about Super Bowl matchups. You didn't think the prices were good. I'll leave you with this. Chiefs, Cowboys, 115-1 at DraftKings. I like that one.
Oh, see, now that's a price. Chiefs, Cowboys, 115-1.
Where's the Vikings?
Columbo bet leaving the door there. Thank you, Will.